here this morning, and that tells me that the end of the world didn't come yesterday, did it? It did not at all, and we are going to continue on. And the thing is, the amazing thing is, people set dates. They should never do that. The Bible does not say to set dates. But it's amazing, Daniel is going to set some dates. But what he said is going to come to pass, as we're going to see in the book of Daniel. Amazing as well. So what have we been looking at in the past? Well, we've been looking at, and what we're looking at this morning, is the tribulation in the 70th week of Daniel, from Daniel 9, 24 through 27. But I thought we were in Revelation, Pastor. We are in Revelation. And Revelation, as we've looked at in the past, breaks up into three phases. Things that John had seen in the past, the vision of Jesus Christ. He says the things that are in the present, Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia, we've taught that already. So we're moving on, and we're between now the things that are past and present right here and the things that are yet shall be hereafter in the future, Revelation 4 through 22. And we already taught Revelation 4 and 5, haven't we, in the past? And that's why this passage and this book divides neatly into three parts. This is the outline of the book of Revelation by the grace of God, that you might understand it. It can look like this on a timeline as we think of the Old Testament dealing with Israel. And what we're going to look at this morning here is from Israel, from Daniel in the Old Testament. Again, the cross of Christ, His crucifixion, His resurrection. Revelation 1 parallels the resurrected Christ. Then there's the church age which we live in, Revelation 2 and 3. The New Testament teaching, we believe we're here at the end of the church age. We didn't, and we are not setting any dates for the rapture, as Harold Canning did, and kind of made a fool out of himself. And now anybody talks to him about, if you talk to anybody about the rapture, they might look at you and say, well, you're one of those nuts, aren't you? And you'll say, well, this is what the Bible teaches. And we're just trying to tell you what the Bible has to say. That one day soon, the church will be caught up. The church will be in heaven during Revelation 4 through 19, while all hell is breaking loose for 7 years on the earth. That's yet future. Now, we don't know if we're right here at this moment before. We could be, you know, back a ways, and I'm not trying to set any dates there. But again, Israel's in the land. They're in the land in unbelief. There are no events that have to be fulfilled yet for the rapture to happen. It's imminent, which means it may not happen immediately, but it could happen immediately. And we're to live in light of that time in our Christian lives, purifying ourselves, because one day He's going to appear and we're going to stand before Him as believers in Jesus Christ. Okay? And after the true church is caught to heaven, the false church will go into the tribulation for 7 years of difficulty. Christ will come out of heaven at the second coming of Christ and set up His messianic kingdom, Revelation 20. It will last for 1,000 years. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be a great white throne judgment. And we've looked at a lot of this in the past. But since we're here between, we've looked at the rapture, and the tribulation really hasn't quite started yet, what have we looked at in the past few weeks that we have addressed before we go on into Revelation chapter 6? Well, we looked at, and we asked the question, will the church go through the tribulation? No, it will not. It will be raptured, but that is yet future, because we believe we are pre-tribulational in our perspective. Okay? Then we looked at the events in heaven after the rapture, Revelation 4 and 5. And for the last 2 weeks, we looked at the judgment seat of Christ. What's going on in heaven here while all hell is breaking loose upon earth? And I just thought, you know, before we go on to Revelation 6, we need to look at one more thing. As we talk about the tribulation period to come, Daniel had a vision of it in the Old Testament called the 70th week of Daniel. And that's why I thought we'd look at that before we go on. And the question might be, what's so significant about the 70th week of Daniel anyway? Well, the 70th week of Daniel is the tribulation period to come. As here's this makeup of just the tribulation period, okay? It's also Daniel's 70th week. And that's why we're looking at that, just to get you a little bit more informed, for you to understand what's going on in all these things. But before we need to look there, we need to look at a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. It says, "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks, or to the church of God." Now, why is that question asked? Well, We need to distinguish, first of all, between Israel and the church. The Bible makes distinctions. See? And we need to distinguish between that. And the question to ask here is, are Israel and the church referring to the same thing? Not at all. Not according to 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Christians, the church of God. Three distinct sets of people that we need to see and we need to understand about those very things. This is one of the distinctions that the Bible makes that is being erased today in some circles. As many in the church are adopting what's called replacement theology, in other words, that the church has now permanently replaced Israel, they have no future. That's not true. We're going to see from Daniel, from the Old Testament, that Daniel was told that they have a future. And even after the church has gone to heaven, God's going to begin to deal with Israel again in the future. See? Paul taught that all Israel one day will be saved. It's not true today, not true of all Gentiles today, but it is true of all true Bible-believing, born-again Christians who have put their faith in Jesus Christ who died for them. Okay? Today Israel is the tail, but one day they will be the head of all nations with Jerusalem as the focal point of that nation. So as dispensationalists, we must keep Israel and the church separate. God has one plan for Israel and another for the church. So the next question, well, here's God's covenant. And we look at this just for a minute. You know, when Abraham was given a covenant with God, this was before the law was given. Although Abraham was the first Jew, Israel under the law, under the dispensation of law, was given the Palestinian covenant having to do with the land that they own, because God said so. The Davidic covenant, which has to do with the fact that there will always be Jews, even though Hitler and others have tried to eliminate them in the past. And the new covenant has to do with the fact that one day they're going to be saved. They're going to be born again. All Israel is going to be saved. God also gave the Mosaic covenant, but this covenant ended at the cross of Christ. Why? Because on the cross of Christ, Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be saved by matchless grace. That's why the church today gets in on the new covenant through faith alone in Christ alone. But all these other three covenants and the Abrahamic covenant will be filled with the nation of Israel in a future time in the kingdom to come. And that's why we need to be aware of these distinctions and these differences so that we can understand it even more clearly. So the next question is, what are the differences between Israel and the church? And I'm just going to cover some of these here. Well, Israel had a specialized priesthood. The church has a universal priesthood. Every believer is a priest. And that's why if you're saved here this morning, you are a believer priest. You could sacrifice and give this morning. See? But under the Old Testament, Israel had a Levitical priesthood. They had a shadow Christology. What they saw of Christ was in shadows. The animal sacrifices shadow the fact that Christ would come and die on Calvary's cross. Today we have a historical Christology. They had a ritual plan from God. We have a personal plan as we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Israel was under the Mosaic Law. We're not under the Mosaic Law. Okay? And that's why we're related to God through, they were related to God through an unconditional covenants that are not yet being fulfilled. We're related to God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and through faith in Jesus Christ. That's one of the big differences. They had the endowment of the Holy Spirit would come upon certain people at that time, but we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit to indwell them, to teach them, to guide them, to empower them in the Christian life. And that's why they had spirituality as they rested and obeyed the promises of God. We have spirituality by the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important in this age of grace as we have this relationship with Him. On and on we can go. So we see there's these differences. But we need to go back now to Daniel. And let's turn there into Daniel chapter 9 and jump in here. Daniel chapter 9. And I didn't give you a ton of room on your handout because there isn't a lot of room. I didn't give you two sheets, just one sheet. But there's not a lot of room to write things down there, so you'll just have to do the best you can do. And if you don't get it all, and you don't get it all. That's all. You can always listen to the message again. Come up and look at my cheat sheet. I've got it up here for you. Okay? So we've distinguished the fact that Israel and the church are two different entities. We're not Israel. Israel is not the church, although today Jews can be saved and become part of the church through faith in Christ. But now we need to determine the significance of Daniel's 70th week. And the first thing we want to look at is the context of this prophecy in Daniel 9, verses 1 through 23. And I'm just going to sum up here. Daniel is in exile under the authority and bondage of the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay? But he understands that the 70-year captivity prophesied by Jeremiah for Israel is nearly up in its time frame. Okay? So in light of the unknown future of the nation, he now goes to the Lord in prayer to seek answers from the God of Israel. And this is an amazing prayer of confessing his sin and going before the Lord, seeking God's wisdom. And God answers his prayer with a vision to Daniel of Israel's future. That's what the 70 weeks of Daniel is really all about. Future. Let's just look at the purpose of his prayer in 9:13. First of all, why did Daniel pray? 9:13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster, this discipline that they were under, being in captivity, has come upon us. And we have not made a prayer before the Lord our God, that we might, two things, turn from our iniquities, there's repentance, and understand your truth. Daniel wanted to know that. What's going on here, Lord? What is the future of our nation? Where are we headed? The 70-year period is almost up in regards to these things. He requests two things. Look at verse 16 and following. What does he request? O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, and your holy mountain, because for you, our sins, for the iniquities of our fathers in Jerusalem, and your people are a reproach to all those who are around us. I need my light over here. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant in his supplications, and for your Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. It had been desolated. O my God, incline your ear and open and hear and open your ears and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. That would be Jerusalem. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. They didn't have any. Why are we praying? Because of your great mercies. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He's a God of great mercy. He delights in mercy, doesn't he? Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. We want to know what the future has to hold here in regards to these things. Okay? So Daniel's praying, and now we've got the context here. Let's jump into verses 20 and following and see what happens. Daniel says, now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, this is the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reaching me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. And at the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, you are greatly beloved, my friend. Therefore, consider the matter and understand this vision. He's going to give him a vision of what the nation has in its future. Now again, as we look at this dispensational chart, this was way before our time. But yet God revealed to the prophet Daniel the context and what this vision is really all about. So we want to look at now the content of this prophecy in verses 24 through 27. What do we see in this prophecy, the content of the prophecy? Daniel had prophesied before in chapter 2 of Daniel, and he had seen this great image in Daniel chapter 2. If you don't know about this, you can read it on your own in Daniel chapter 2 right here. But he had foreseen a great image, and this image represented a head of gold, a chest of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, and then an iron and clay, toes and feet. This image represented four major Gentile kingdoms which would rule the earth, holding Israel in subjection for many, many years. Okay? Daniel came to power, was taken captive by Babylon, And he lived under Nebuchadnezzar, under that kingdom. He's now living under the Medo-Persian kingdom. Daniel has seen the fact that what God said is coming to pass. His word is true. And that's what we need to see. So Daniel's going to embrace more information here now, and he's seen this image in the past, and we're going to be looking at this last revived Roman Empire. It speaks of yet future. And actually, if we could turn this on its side, this is a dispensational line, we are living between the old Rome and the new revived Roman Empire, or Europe United. So we're living right here. This revived Roman Empire that's going to take over the world in the future has not yet come to pass, but the world is set for it to come to pass. We need to understand that. We need to see that in our thinking. Unlike the prophets of today, much of his prophecies have come true, because these four kingdoms, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Alexander the Great in Greece, and the Roman Empire, have all come and gone, haven't they? Just as Daniel said they would. And each of those kingdoms got to be more and harder, but the first was pure, and this last one is going to be held together only by God's grace, and that's part of the tribulation to come, and we need to see that. So what are we looking at here in 9:24? Let's look here. Let's read these verses quickly, and then we'll look at them verses carefully. Here's the vision, Daniel. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, notice he's mentioned here, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. But not for himself, for everybody else, for you and for me, friends. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's the old Roman Empire, 70 AD. And the end of it shall be with a flood, and the end until the end of the war and desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, the 70th week of Daniel. In the middle of the week, he shall bring to an end sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. What does all that mean? Good question. What does all that mean? That's a good... So let's look at the content of this prophecy, and let's try to move through this as quickly as we can. The period of this prophecy is what? 70 weeks are determined, 9:24 tells us. 70 weeks are determined. So the question is, what does the word weeks mean in this context or in Scripture? Well, it's a unit of seven. Shabuim is the Hebrew word. The closest unit of time that involves seven is a week. Thus, the translation of a week. Okay? So this is thinking of a seven-year period is a week. Okay? How much total time does this involve? 70 units of 7. 7 times 7 is 49 with a zero after it. 490 years is involved in this prophecy. Okay? God has a plan for His people in the future that will take 490 more years from Daniel's time to bring it to completion. That's what He's saying here. Okay? All right? So we looked at the period it involves. What about the people it involves? For your people, who were Daniel's people? Good question. They were the Jews. Okay, he's in captivity. And that's why it's the nation of Israel that's really being set forth here. God chose Israel as His special nation unto Himself for special purposes, that through them the world could come to know the Bible. The Bible is Jewish in its origin. And He could come to know the Messiah. Jesus Christ was born of the nation of Israel, promised by the Old Testament Jewish prophets. Thus, all of that we owe to the Jews. We need to be pro-Israel, friends, because of that. We're for the nation of Israel. Why? Because they're God's people. He's not through with them yet. He has a future, and if we turn against them, I'm afraid God will turn against us. Thus, if our president makes decisions which are anti-Israel, which right now he and Benjamin Netanyahu are going head-to-head over giving up land, going back to the 1967 border. Not good that our president is doing that. Not good, friends. Not good at all. Okay? Next question. The place it involves, and for your holy city. What was Daniel's holy city? Where did he pray to three times a day? Well, he prayed to Jerusalem. And it's mentioned in 9:16 and 9:19. We don't have to go there and turn there, but you can look at that if you want in the future. We need to keep moving ahead. Jerusalem is the focal point of biblical prophecy, friends. The focal point. In Jerusalem, Jesus was crucified. From the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, He ascended into heaven. And one day He's coming back to earth, and His feet will step back on earth in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives at His second coming. So that piece of property there in Jerusalem and Israel is very, very important. It's called the navel of the world. Okay? All focus is going on towards Jerusalem, even though it's been sidetracked a little bit by tsunamis and other issues. There's always this hotbed, and all the Arab nations there want to eliminate Israel, don't they? But God is keeping that people, keeping that city. What is the purpose here as we go to this next point here? The purpose is to, it involves is to finish. Let's look at the verse here again. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and so on and so forth. Okay? To finish. Now, what does this word finish mean? It means to bring to an end or completion. To bring what to an end or completion? How about Israel's apostasy? Israel's waywardness in worshiping false gods when they should have been worshiping the God Jehovah? How about wandering all over because of the discipline? Now they're in Medio Persia and in Assyria as well. He wants to bring them back to the land of promise in 1948. That began. And also to bring them to faith in their Messiah so God's covenant promises can be fulfilled. That's what He wants to finish. So what are the purposes here? The six purposes stated. Number one is to finish the transgression. This means to deal with their transgressions and to put an end with them. Well, that took place on Calvary's cross, didn't it? Okay. Secondly, to make an end of their sins. This speaks of a judgment was coming to this nation. And this judgment is going to happen, although it's been going on for some time, it's going to come to a head in the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation period to come. And through the pressure that God will bring against that nation, they're going to turn to their God and realize they killed their Messiah. And they're going to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're going to be born again in a day when they believe that. Okay. Number three, though, is to make reconciliation for iniquity. This would take place at the Messiah's first coming on Calvary's cross, but would not be true of Israel as a nation until the second coming when they would receive Christ as their rightful Messiah. Now, individual Jews have believed, and you know, the Apostle Paul and the other disciples who became apostles have believed, and even today there are believing Messianic Jews who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, but the nation of Israel has not. They are still in darkness about that. They still have the veil over their eyes. They haven't understood. When they come to Christ, that veil is removed, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us. What else does God want to do with this future of Israel? He wants to bring an everlasting righteousness that will only be true in the millennial kingdom, which is yet to come in the future. And that is yet to be anticipated as many people are praying, "Thy kingdom come." We're not looking for the kingdom. We're looking for the uppertaker. The rapture of the church, which this fellow in the last few weeks has been telling everybody the world's going to come to an end, he was wrong. Don't set dates. You shouldn't do that. That was absolutely wrong. But it will take the tribulation to bring in that everlasting righteousness, and that will be all hell breaking loose upon earth. To seal up vision and prophecy. What does that mean, to seal up vision and prophecy? To bring this vision, this prophecy of Daniel's, of the nation to a conclusion by bringing them to faith in their Messiah. They have not been able to understand all that has happened to them because of their unbelief towards their Messiah. That will all change one day in the future. And lastly, to anoint the Most Holy. This whole Most Holy now is in reference to the millennial temple, the Holy of Holies, that will be desecrated during the tribulation by the Antichrist. It will have to be cleansed and rededicated, and that will all come to pass when Jesus Christ returns in the future. Okay? Well, when the question then is this, When will all these purposes be ultimately fulfilled? We've seen in the past, again, that this will happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, not at His first coming. Because at His first coming, Israel said, crucify Him, crucify Him. We'll not have this man to reign over us. But when He comes the second time, they will have believed in Him, and He will come to rescue His people, those that are left after most have been killed, okay, in the future. That time is yet future from our day, but Daniel foretold of it. As a stone cut out without hands would come and crush the kingdom of Antichrist in the future at His second coming. So we have seen the context and the content of the prophecy. Now let's look at the chronology. Now here's Jesus Christ as He's going to come out of heaven, a depiction of Him coming out of heaven. The chronology of this prophecy in verses 25 through 27. Let's look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. So we want to look at this chronology, and what does it begin with? The starting point of the 490 years is that from this going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay, this again, Israel's in captivity in Medo-Persia, and there's going to be a command given to go back to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, and when did this decree occur? Approximately March of 444 BC. Some say March 445 BC. There's a few discrepancies on this, but at the same time, as we do all the math, you'll see that this will come out at Jesus when He comes again. Okay, so you can put that down. And here's how this has all come to pass. Daniel, we're trying to figure out now, again, Daniel, 70 weeks, 70 periods of 7, which means 490 years. Okay, as we look at Daniel 9:25 again, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, that's 49 years, and 62 weeks, that's 434 years, totaling 483 years. And the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. So here's, someone has put this together. This is not mine. I've used this from someone else, and if you have a discrepancy. But again, all of this goes from this date, March 5th, 1944. Artaxerxes makes this decree in Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 3. And this is again pertaining to who? Not pertaining to the church. It's pertaining to the nation of Israel. This is about Israel's future. Keep that in mind, okay? So, let's look at the next slide. So, here's this tribulation period again. And this is a dispensational chart here again, okay? And we're looking at Daniel 9, 24 through 27. The 7 years plus 62, or the 7 weeks plus 62 weeks makes 69 weeks. At that particular time, Messiah the Prince would come. And notice, here's the cross of Calvary here, fitting right in. The temple would be destroyed shortly thereafter. There will be this 70th week is still unfulfilled. So as we look at it, we live in this time period right here. This time period. God has dealt with Israel in the past. He's been building His church during this time period. But He's going to deal with Israel again in the future. 69 weeks have been fulfilled. The 70th week of Daniel, though, is unfulfilled. Okay, it's unfulfilled. We need to see and we need to note that so that we've got that down in our thinking. And that's why we need to understand all of what's being set forth here. The triumphal entry of the 483 years, let's back us up for 1 second again. The triumphal entry will be when Messiah the Prince comes right here at this particular point. 483 years, 69 weeks, comes out to 483 years till Messiah the Prince comes. Okay? Now, since the 483 years consists of 173,880 days, what event transpired then in early March, or late March, or early April, 32 AD? In ancient days, 1 year consisted of how many days? 360 days, not 365. And that's why at this last calculation, some years were taken off because of the calculation of 360 days. I didn't figure this out, by the way. Someone else has to figure this out. This is not my forte. Here's the rationale for 360 day years. A half week of Daniel 9:27 times and a half times spoken of in Daniel 7:25, 12:7 and Revelation 12:14 speaks of 1260 days. Okay? Thus 42 months, equals 1260 days times and a half times. Therefore, a month is 30 days or 360 days. I hope you can grasp that and I hope you can understand that particular thing. So here's the explanation of the 70 weeks of years. And again, this is not easy to grasp and understand. 69 weeks times 7 times 360 days in a year equals 173,880 days. So March 4th, 444 BC, plus 173,880 days comes out to March 30th. And this particular scenario is March 30th, AD 33. Some say April AD 32. But either way, only Jesus Christ could fulfill this. See? Only Jesus Christ could fulfill this. So since 483 years would consist of that many days, what event transpired? Well, when Christ was heralded as the Son of David on Palm Sunday on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, wasn't he? That's what transpired there. But within a week, they were crying out, on the one hand, "Hail the Son of David who comes in the name of the Lord." They were recognizing him, on the one hand, to be the Messiah. But before the week was over, they were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him. We'll not have this man to reign or rule over us." So the Messiah of Israel was crucified, buried, and rose again. Then he ascended into heaven. He's there waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Okay? So as we think of the triumphal entry here now, there is this indefinite gap between the first 69 weeks and what would come after this, the 70th week. There's this indefinite gap till the 70th week after the 62-week period is mentioned there. Okay? The indefinite gap. What is the key word to note here in Daniel 9? Let's look here. Verse 26, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself." The key word here, and I left it on your handout there, is after the 62-week period. That introduces this indefinite period of time that we need to understand and we need to note. What was predicted regarding Messiah after the 483 years? It would be predicted that he would be cut off. The idea is cut off with nothingness, is the idea. Okay? He would be crucified. See? The term is used in other passages of Scripture, Leviticus 7:20, 7:21, 25, 1 Samuel 17:51, and others. But it refers to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in the Old Testament Scriptures where he would be crucified. Well, where in the Old Testament does it say that? Well, how about Psalm 22? How about Isaiah 53? Matter of fact, put a marker here. Let's go back to the Isaiah 53. Put a marker in your Bibles and back up here. And let's look at that passage for just a minute. This is a reference to Jesus Christ being crucified. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, Isaiah says, "Who has believed our report," or what the Lord has had to say, "and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground, that he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, the Messiah, there will be no beauty, no outward adornment that we should desire who he is." He's a plain Jane guy on the outside. "Yet he's despised and rejected by men. He's become the man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." They should have, and they didn't. What did they do? They crucified him. "Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Notice he died in our place. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, though, we are healed, spiritually healed through faith in him. Here's us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or sin of us all. And that's why Christ died upon that cross, that we might be saved. Messiah would be cut off with nothingness. He would not be recognized for who he was and what he did. That's the idea, what he's saying right here. This is also mentioned in Zechariah 12:10, and as we go back again to Daniel 9:26, it mentions that Messiah would be cut off, referring to his crucifixion on that cross. Okay? What was predicted, though, I get caught up here, what was predicted regarding Jerusalem and the temple after the 483 years? Well, let's look at 9:26 and see. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. See? What's going to happen? The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, this took place in 70 AD. That city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army, and it will be destroyed again by the Antichrist army during the tribulation period to come. And that sanctuary will be desecrated. It will be destroyed at that particular time as well. Okay? So what else do we know about that Messiah has been doing during this time period, this gap? Since he's in heaven seated at God's right hand, what is he doing? Well, Jesus Christ predicted in Matthew 16:18 that he said he would build his church. He's calling out a people for his name. Acts 15, from every tribe and tongue. And I don't know if you've ever sensed the Lord calling you. Do you know if you're saved this morning? Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ? Do you have the guilt of sins upon you? You know, Jesus died that you could be forgiven. He paid for your sins once and for all. He was buried and rose again. He said it's finished. And because of that, God the Father has accepted him back into heaven. He's sitting on the Father's right hand, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. That means you are either an enemy of God here this morning, or you are a child of God. There's no in-between. Have you ever been saved by grace? And that's why all you have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved by God's amazing grace. And you can have a relationship with him. Okay? Let's go back here. Let's look here at this Daniel 70 week again. Here's this time plan, the 69 weeks. All of this has been fulfilled already. Then there's this indefinite gap. What is God doing today? He's building his church. So the blue is referring to what God is doing with the nation of Israel in the past or has done. And there's one more week, a seven-year time period, Daniel 9:27, that is yet future for this nation. So if you're wondering, what is all this about? I'm hoping that these will make this clear and make this understandable for you. You see, the Old Testament prophets didn't see everything. Here's an Old Testament prophet, and as he looked down the corridor of time, he saw these mountain peaks of prophecy. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was predicted in the Old Testament. Calvary was predicted. Isaiah 53, we just read those verses. See, the Antichrist is seen by Daniel in the Old Testament. The kingdom to come, the destruction of the earth. But what didn't the Old Testament prophets see? They didn't see the valley of the church here between the mountain peaks of prophecy. Why? That teaching was an Old Testament mystery hidden from those in the Old Testament, but now revealed by New Testament prophets in the New Testament. And that's why Daniel didn't understand about this gap. He just saw 70 weeks as he looked down the corridors of time. 69 had been fulfilled, but there is this gap here, the church age. He did not see this. And this has been going on for 2,000 years. God has been building his church, and he's continuing to build his church and understand this. Hope you understand and you see that very, very clearly. Okay, let's look at this next point. The indefinite gap. The ending of the 70th week and the end of it. The ending of the 70th week and the end of it was predicted about what was predicted about the destiny of the Antichrist? Well, Bruce goes on to say, in the end of it, the coming prince, the Antichrist, shall be with a flood. In other words, God's judgment during that tribulation period is going to be poured out on the Antichrist. And he is going to be sent to the lake of fire, isn't he? Okay? Well, what was predicted about the desolation of Israel until the end of the wars, till the war desolations are determined? In other words, there is going to be continued desolation and hard times on that nation until they come to repentance and faith in their Messiah. You know, has anybody suffered like the nation of Israel has suffered? And yet they're still a nation. They haven't been conglomerated like most of us from European descent and from other nations have in this country. They are still Jews, Why is that? God has kept them that way. Now, some have intermarried, no doubt about it. But still, there's this nation of Israel over there in the land, and the Gentile nations around them hate them, want to eliminate them. So as we think of the 70-week and yet future, think of the ending of the 70th week. What's the beginning of the 70th week? Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The Antichrist will have a peace treaty, won't he, with that nation for 1 week. And that's why, as we think of this again, here's another picture of this timeline. We're living in the present church age. The rapture of the church is the next event as the Lord will descend out of heaven, taking the true believers to heaven. Didn't happen last night because we're all here, right? But then there's this last 7-year period, the 70th week of Daniel here. Now, this is not going to start necessarily right after the rapture. There may be a time gap here, just like there was a time gap between Christ's death and resurrection, his ascension to heaven, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Okay? During this time, the Antichrist needs to be recognized for who he is and come to some sort of power. And I don't know if this will be a month or 50 days. There's no time period set in Scripture. But we need to understand that there's going to be some preparation after the true church is gone and the Holy Spirit, as the restrainer of evil, is gone. There's going to be some preparation time, and we need to understand and we need to note this. And that's why I put this overhead here in this, so that we might understand this all the more. Okay? So as you think of these end times, again, let's look at Matthew. Let's look at this verse, Matthew 24:15. Let's turn there. What's going on here? Matthew 24, verse 15. Let me jump ahead here in my overheads. What begins the 70th week period? Well, it's he shall confirm a covenant with them for 1 week. In order to do this, what must the Antichrist have? Good question. He needs to have significant political power and clout to do that. And that's why it's going to probably take some time for that to happen. He's going to come to power, see, in light of those things. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 15. Now, here's the middle of Daniel's 70th week, the abomination of desolation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then that those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So, in other words, there is just going to be this situation that's going to go on there. Okay? The midpoint of the 70th week is going to be this here's what it says in Daniel 9. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. Who's he? The Antichrist. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even the consummation which is determined and is poured out upon the desolate. And that's why we saw this, and this requires about Israel, that they're in the land and that they have a temple even to sacrifice in that particular land. That's what it means. Okay? But in Matthew 24, we see this. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I put that on your handout as well. 2 Thessalonians. Again, this is a lot of information in one shot, friends. You can hardly write it all down. I can hardly keep it in my head what's going on. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Paul mentioned about this Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that's the rapture, we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us. It was the spurious letter, rumor that was going around, as if from Paul, that the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, had already come, that they were in the 70th week. He says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away or the catching away of the church to heaven first comes, and then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. He's the Antichrist. What's he going to do? Verse 4. Who's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Notice what he's going to do. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And again, this implies that Israel is in the land and that they have a temple to sacrifice in. Problem is just half of this is true. They are in the land today since 1948. Did they have a temple to sacrifice in? No. Why is that? Because the Dome of the Rock sits on the Temple Mount. That's why. And although there's been attempts to establish and lay a cornerstone for that temple, it has not been allowed. Obviously, the Antichrist is going to be able to allow that to happen here in the future. Okay? So as we think about this treaty, what is this treaty all about? It guarantees that the Antichrist will provide Israel protection from those that are anti-Israel, those that want to drive them into the sea over there. And that's why they must have be in the land, they must have a temple. That's only partially true. Okay? Let's move ahead here. Well, chronology, my point six on your handout, so the midpoint of the 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to set himself up. That's exactly what 2 Thessalonians talks about right here. Okay? And that's why this is only half true. So let's look at the conclusion here of all this as we think about our study this morning. Number one, regarding Israel, what does all this mean? Regarding Israel, they will have a very difficult days ahead. They're going to be in for a lot of trouble. There's a big squeeze going on over there. And they're going to be squeezed even more. Though they are the center of biblical prophecy, we need to recognize that and realize Israel has a future. The church is going to be caught up and God's going to turn back to the nation of Israel and to deal with them. Secondly, regarding the church, they have no place in any of the 70 weeks. Daniel didn't see it in the Old Testament because they are raptured before all this occurs. They were not in the first 69 weeks. They're not going to be in the last week. Why? Because we're pre-tribulational. In our perspective, that's why. Number three, regarding Jesus Christ, He has been cut off for you and for me. He died as predicted, but He's coming again as predicted. See? Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. What about regarding God's truth? What God's words promises, God always fulfilled. In other words, what He told Daniel in the Old Testament concerning the 70 weeks prophecy must come to pass. Daniel believed that he saw those first two kingdoms come to pass in his lifetime. He knew the future would be true as well. Thus, we as Bible believers need to believe this as well. How about regarding you? Are you prepared and in the know concerning these coming events? Good question. Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself. He always keeps His word. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Very, very important. And that's why this prophetic panorama, again, the rapture of the church, the 7 years of tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb, Christ comes back in judgment, the nation of Israel is born again in a day, and He sets up His thousand-year millennial kingdom yet in the future. Okay? Very interesting. And that's why the whole point is this, friends. Jesus Christ came the first time to offer himself as a sacrificial lamb. He died on the cross, shedding his blood. He died for you. He died for me. But he's coming again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And if you don't accept him as the Lamb of God, you're going to face him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he will crush all oppressors in that day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word this morning. And again, this was a lot. It was fast. It was rapid fire. But I trust people have a feeling again and a sense of what's going on here in the 70 weeks of Daniel. And it fits right in our study of Revelation. By the grace of God, Father, we might see and understand this. And knowing that the 70th week of Daniel is the tribulation period to come. It's yet future. It's unfulfilled. And that's why we're going to study it in great detail in the next few weeks. We ask for your guidance and direction. And thank you again for your word this morning. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.